Now, the work breakdown structure, which has the key task of, is one of the key methodologies of project management, is in making the trade-off among three important concepts: the size of the system, the time to complete the project, and the cost of the system. So these are three elements that work together in the WBS structure. So here is the again a WBS structure for the tasks. You have the WBS elements in terms of hardware, software, system engineering, and training. And these are the functional areas, info systems, purchasing, testing, and technical editors, and therefore what is the cost of each element over here. The next important job in the WBS process is estimating the task. Now it is important to sorry is in estimating the task duration. It is important to put a time that each activity will take for completion. Now that could be defined in terms of hours, it could be defined in terms of days, it could be defined in terms of weeks, etc. Okay. Now the understanding is that we want to have an estimate of time required. What is our understanding of the work as of estimate? The understanding is that we want to have an approximation amount of time that will be required in terms of a number or a position of anything without actual enumeration or measurement. So here we are doing an estimation process. We are not actually measuring how much time it will be taking for each activity. Okay. Now, time estimation is used for scheduling work, assigning resources, and determining delivery dates. So if we know the it'll take a activity will take 3 days to do, then we can assign the start day, completion day on the basis of that. Cost estimates are used for, then budgeting, and cost and benefit estimates are used in creating the cost benefit analysis as well as the overall ROI of the project or the viability of the project. So now let's look at the importance of the accuracy of the estimates. While estimating the time that is required for each activity, it is important to be logical, structured, and have some scientific method of, making the estimate so that they are reasonably accurate. If the time estimate is not accurate, it can result in inefficient use of resources and can also result in late delivery. So, for example, an inaccurate cost estimate can actually result in, having the wrong budgets being allotted. Either excess budget is set aside for the project, which is at the cost of other projects in the company, or alternatively, a smaller budget is allotted for the project, and then when the project gets underway, money runs short on completing the project. Okay. If the cost or benefit estimates are inaccurate, it can lead to incorrect decisions about whether to proceed with the project or not proceed with the project. In terms of manpower, if wrong estimates are there, wrong allocation of manpower or skills happens to the project. Okay, so when estimates are required, so at the initiation stage of the project, we need the time, cost, and benefit estimates in the project definition. At the planning stage, we need time estimates in the project schedule, we need cost estimates in the project budget, and we need the cost and benefit analysis in the business case. At the start of the project stage, we need time and cost estimates reconfirmed for each stage so that the right amount of money, the right amount of skills, the right amount of manpower is allocated to each WBS work unit within that project. Now, effort and duration. Now, in estimating, it is essential to know whether the estimate is an effort or a duration-based estimate. So you can make the estimate in terms of effort, which is in terms of this thing required. Now, effort is typically the amount of work required to complete a task, which is typically used to estimate the cost of resources. Whereas duration is the time that elapses between the start and end of the task, which is used in estimating the time frame required for the project. Now the effort and duration take account only for the fact that people usually work on multiple tasks or in or outside of a project. Only if their work can be 100% of the time on the project will the effort equal the duration. Normally, when they work intermittently on the task, there may be more time required to complete the task where no human activity is required. So, this is important to understand. For example, the estimate for painting a room may be 10 hours for two people, 20 hours of effort over 3 days, allowing for other tasks and also for drying time of the paint. So, this is there could be a slack in between when the paint is actually drying out. So, estimating the task duration, there are three commonly used methods of estimation: the top-down estimate, the bottom-up estimating, and the parametric estimating. So, these are the three methods used for estimating the task duration. Let's look at this. The top-down method, also known as the analogous method, is used to determine the order of magnitude estimates in the initiation phase of the project. This method will use actual durations or efforts or costs that have been incurred in previous projects as a scientific basis of estimating the effort or cost for the current project. So, the method or the steps involved are to identify a previous project or a section of a previous project that is similar to the current one, assess the extent to which the project is similar to the previous one, and then do a comparison factor. They say, for example, 1.5 times is if the current project is 1.5 times of the previous project or 50% larger, estimate the time that was required for the previous project multiplied by 1.5 times to get the estimate of what it will take for the current project. The second method of making an estimate is the bottom-up approach, which is considered to be the most accurate method for generating project estimates. It is used to determine budget or definitive estimates during the planning phase and at the start of each project stage. Now, this method uses the work breakdown structure developed during the planning stage of the project. Estimates are created for all the tasks and all the activities right down to the lowest level, and then these are added up to determine the total time and the total effort that is required for the entire project. Now, the bottom-up method is a consensus technique, which is using the team. Team is usually assigned to obtain the task estimates for low-level tasks on the WBS, because as well as producing reliable estimates, it also builds active involvement, cooperation, and commitment to the WBS method. Okay? Experts with skills are required to perform the work should be included in the estimating process. The disadvantage of the bottom-up method is it is very time-consuming to get the estimates from all the people, collating it and putting it together before the implementation can actually begin. The third method of estimating or making an estimate of the effort and the duration is using a parametric method. Now, the parametric method is also known as the object-based method. It is also used to get, pretty reliable estimates and to confirm the bottom-up estimates where possible. It's a very simple concept is used. You know, if the amount of effort needed to carry out a particular activity or a particular object is known, then the number of objects is known, the effort required to perform the complete activity for all the objects can be determined. Now, the amount of effort for a single activity can be determined either from a standard, which has been established from previous experience, or by executing a sample activity if no standard exists. What are the key steps involved in deriving the parametric estimates? Identify an item to be estimated, then estimate the number of such items, estimate the effort per item, multiply the effort per item by the number of items to get the total effort done. So, for example, if the assembly of one library shelving stack takes an hour and a half and there are 40 stacks to assemble, then the total effort required is about 60 hours. So, this is a parametric method where you are using certain parameters. In the parametric method, there are three commonly used techniques, which is called the weighted average estimation, the consensus estimation, and the phase-wise ratio. So, these are the three methods of doing the parametric estimating techniques. Now, what is the weighted average estimation? A weighted average estimation is also known as a sensitivity analysis estimation. With this technique, typically three estimates are obtained for each item rather than one. This provides a more accurate estimate than only when one estimate value is provided. The three estimates are the optimistic or the best case scenario, the pessimistic or the worst case scenario, and realistic, the most likely scenario. The three estimates that are obtained are then used in the following formula to determine the actual effort. The estimated effort is optimistic plus 4 times realistic plus pessimistic divided by 6, which gives you the weighted average time estimate required for doing one activity. The second method are the consensus estimation method. Now, in this method, a briefing is provided to the estimating team on the project. Each person in the team is given a list of work components to estimate, and each person independently estimates the optimistic, realistic, and the pessimistic requirements for each work component. The estimates are written up on a whiteboard. Each person discusses the basis and assumptions for their estimates. Basis that a revised set of estimates is produced. The averages for the O, M, and P are then calculated using the weighted average formula used on the previous slide. Okay, and this gives us a far more accurate, a number, because a number of people are making a similar estimate for the same task over a period of time. Now, the third way of making an estimate are what are called phase ratios. Now, phase ratios are actually determined by, putting a phase ratio for each phase, a percentage is provided that amount of effort that should be spent in this phase of the project should be 10% of the total effort or 20% of the total effort. And this is, then a means of generating a top-down order of magnitude duration estimate for that phase of the project. Okay, it can be used as a sense check or a sensibility check or the bottom-up duration estimates for the time allocated to each project phase. Now, phase ratio estimating techniques use estimate for one phase of a project to derive the likely size of the other phases and then what is the overall estimate of the project. So, for example, if analysis takes 5 weeks and this represents 10% of the project, then the project is likely to take 50 weeks. Now, the concept behind this method is that a similar type of, project would normally spend a similar percentage of effort or would require a similar percentage of time and effort to complete that phase. But phase ratios have a disadvantage. They are not accurate enough to be used for budget or definitive estimates. Now, phase ratio percentages are a technique that is based on, the previous project, how much of, if we were to divide the previous projects that we have done into logical phases and estimate the time that we have taken for each of these projects to complete. So, we take a sample of the projects that we have done, break them up into phases, see the time that we have taken for each phase, and then calculate the phase ratios, and then take the average of all that basis a number of projects can give us a more accurate estimate of what could be the phase ratio percentage. Okay, so what are the next phase ratios? The next slide will explain that, and these could be refined based on actual data that we are doing from completed projects. So, for example, if you see the following phase ratio percentage that have been derived from multiple projects. So, say for example, initiation is 5%. Planning is 20%, analysis is 10%, design is 10%, construction is 20%, testing is 20%, implementation is 10%, closure is 5%. And so this is the effort of time that effort that is required to complete each phase of the software project. So this is a phase ratio percentages that are used in estimating the time that should be required to complete each phase of the software project. Now, let's get into another topic, which is we discussed estimation at the overall level. Let us look at software task estimation. What is software task estimation, and what are the steps or what are the inherent drawbacks in that. Okay. Now, every domain, every industry, every field has its own method of determining task duration. So, for example, if we are in the construction industry and the company is in the business of making roads and building bridges, they will have a method of estimating the time it takes to build a road of a certain size or a bridge of a certain width or a length, etc. Okay. Similarly, there are techniques that have been developed in the software industry for task estimation that have developed over a period of time based on the experience of so many companies which have been involved in this sector. Okay. The key challenges that are there in the software task estimation are peculiar to this sector, or which are different to this sector, is the first one is a very low understanding of the total project requirement or of the requirement of what the user wants at the start of the project. Now, this industry has customers and users who are not very clear about what is their exact requirement at the beginning of the project. Unlike, say, a construction company which is making, say, roads, the customer who wants the road to be built or the organization that wants the bridge to be built, there is a lot of clarity in the length of the road, in the length of the bridge, the height of the bridge, etc. That kind of clarity doesn't exist at the start of the software project. The second thing is in the situation of software or in the field of software, customer requirements are rapidly changing, and that impact the estimation of time for the software project. The third thing is technology also keeps changing. There are diverse or different technologies that can do the same task in different time duration and different cost implications. Which technology can you to be used for a specific part of the project and which technology not to use is difficult to determine. Okay. So high technology and its related complexities add to the complexity of estimating the software task duration. Now, one of the most important methods which is used for identifying functionality and number of programs is called object analysis. Now, how does this object analysis work? Assume that any process or business is an object which responds to a variety of business stimuli or situation. Software is then designed to give an appropriate response to each stimulus or each situation. Let us understand this by typical system, say a sales system. So, for example, a typical sales system would be where the prospect seeks information about the products offered, prices, delivery. There could be negotiation for prices, delivery and payment terms. A prospect will place the order, become a customer. Order has to be executed over the next 3 months, 6 months as per the customer's delivery schedule. Now, delivery period for the first 3 months could be firm, while the delivery for the next 6 months would be given later. Customer changes the delivery schedule, also changes the overall order quantity, can increase or decrease the same, and customer can also cancel the order if required. Now, if we take all this, so from the selling process, it is clear that the business faces specific situations during the selling process. If each of these situations is called an event and requires a response from the system, then the response can be designed on the basis of business rules. When a software is developed to automate the sales process, programs have to be developed that handle each event based on the possible response that the organization can give. So if the customer changes the delivery schedule, we need the program to keep the earlier delivery schedule and also have the change delivery schedule available in the system. Thus, for software development, list of all possible situations as the one that we described in the selling process has to be made, and all the possible responses are based on the business rule. Then estimation is done for all the above to define the total time and the effort that will be required to complete the project. List of all such events and corresponding responses will give us a list of all the programs that are required to be developed for the system or the application. Next, we have to view the business to be composed of several objects like inquiry, order, delivery, product, quotation, customer, etc. So if we view the customer as an object, then the following situations to be visualized. Prospect, list of all potential customers with potential with contact details. Customers are first time customers. Then we have customers who are repeat customers. Then we have customers who we have lost. Customers who are also our suppliers. Customers whose information has changed data like address, phone numbers, etc. By doing this, we can determine the programs that will be required to be developed based on the client's manner of handling these situations. Now, the second method of estimating software duration and estimate is called a task-based estimation. Now, this method is also called the program complexity method. Now, in this method, all the programs are classified on the basis of complexity, which is simple, medium, and complex. We then count the number of simple programs, medium complex programs, and complex programs that will be developed. And we also establish a relationship between, say, one simple program is equal to one simple program. One medium program is equal to two simple programs. Let's say one complex program is equal to five simple programs. Okay, so we can establish an equation between these two and then use these equations to convert it into equivalent simple programs. Okay, so this can be shown as an example. So for example, if we say here we have a program complexity which is simple, medium, and complex, then total number of simple programs that are required is 10, total number of medium programs that are required are 20, and total number of complex programs also required are 20. Now, complexity level with simple program is equal to 1. So let's say if the simple program has a, is 1, then the one medium project is equal to 2 simple projects or programs, and one complex program is equal to 5 simple programs. So if we multiply or we get the number of equivalent simple programs, 10 into 1 gives us 10, 20 into 2 gives us 40, and then 20 into 5 gives us 100. So the total number of equivalent simple programs is 150. Now it takes us 2 days to develop one simple program. So we have the total number of equivalent simple programs, 150. It takes 2 days to develop one simple program. Therefore, total man days required is 150 into 2, which is 300 man days. If the number of days in one man month is 25, the number of man months required will be 300 divided by 25, which is 6 man months. So if we assign 6 software engineers to this project, we can develop this software in 1 month at 100% efficiency. If we look at a 75% efficiency, then the number of months required to develop this software is 1.33. Assuming that the cost per man month is 50,000, the cost of software development is 50,000 into 6 man months, which is 3 lakhs. Adding the productivity and efficiency factor of 1.33 and a contingency factor of 10%, the software development cost will be 3 lakhs into 1.33 into 1.1, which is 4,38,900, which we can round off to 4,40,000. So to this 4,40,000 rupees, if we add a margin of 25%, and we can quote to the customer a final price of about 5 lakhs. Or if we add a margin of about 100%, we can quote to the customer a price of about 9 lakh rupees for the software development. So this is a very simple example of task-based estimation. Next is the line of code method. Now, this method of programming assumes that the programming effort is equivalent to the number of lines of code that have to be written in the software program. So a software program can have 2,000 lines of code, 5,000 lines of code, 20,000 lines of code, and then we can estimate the cost per line of code or the time required to develop one line of code and accordingly estimate either the total time or the total cost of doing the software project based on the number of lines of code. Now, the number of lines of code may not be used for new software development projects since we don't have a data on the total number of software codes that may be required to complete that project. Now, there are certain pitfalls on the number of, on the line of code method. The pitfalls are, what should we do about blank lines in the software coding? Should those be counted in the estimate or not counted in the estimate, since no effort is made on the blank line? Should comments written in a program be counted or not? Because to make things clear, software engineers and system analysts will write certain comments in the program which can be used for testing purposes, or which can be used to understand the flow of the software in case there is a shutdown or a breakdown of the software. Should certain definitions and declarative statements be counted? How does one count the line of code that are reusable in another part of the same project? So if I have 1,000 lines of code that are common between, say, 5 different modules, then 5,000 lines, what should I do? I mean, this part or these lines could be shared by a number of sub-programs. So what should be done for that? So this is one of the pitfalls of the line of code method. Then there is another method called the COCOMO method, which is the constructive cost model. Now, the constructive cost model is an algorithmic-based software cost estimation method developed by Barry Bohm. Now, this model uses a basic regression formula with parameters that are derived from historical project data and current as well as future project characteristics. COCOMO was first published in Bohm's 1981 book Software Engineering Economics as a model for estimating the effort, cost and schedule for software projects. Now, it drew on the study of 63 projects at TRW Aerospace, where Bohm was the director of software research and technology. And the study examined projects ranging in size from 2,000 to 1 lakh lines of code and programming languages ranging from assembly level languaging to programming language 1. Now, all these projects were based on the waterfall model of software development, which was the prevalent software development processes in 1981. Therefore, this method is also called the COCOMO 81. Now, COCOMO consists of a hierarchy of 3 increasingly detailed and accurate forms. The first level is the basic COCOMO, is good for quick, early, rough, is quick estimates for software costs, and its accuracy is limited due to lack of factors to account for differences in project attributes like cost drivers, like complexity level or different technologies. Then the intermediate COCOMO takes these cost drivers into account. And then we have the detailed COCOMO, which additionally accounts for the influence of individual project phases. Now, basic COCOMO computes the software development effort and cost as a function of program size. Now, the program size is expressed in thousands of source lines of codes, SLOC. COCOMO applies 3 classes of software projects. Organic projects, which are small teams with good experience working with less than rigid requirements. Then semi-detached projects, which are medium teams with mixed experience working with mixed or rigid and less than rigid requirements. And then embedded projects developed within a set of tight constraints. It also is a combination of organic and semi-detached projects, hardware, software, operational infrastructure, technology, telecom, all added together. So the basic COCOMO equations take the following forms. The effort applied E is equal to AB into KLOC, which means kilo lines of code, where K is 1,000 lines of code raised to B in terms of person months. Then the development time is D equal to CB into effort applied raised to D in terms of months. The people required is effort applied by development time, where KLOC is estimated to be the delivered lines of code expressed in thousands, and the coefficients AB, BB, CB and DB are given in the table which appears on the next slide. Basic COCOMO is very good for quick estimates of software costs. However, as we said, it doesn't account for differences in hardware, software, personal quality, experience and use of automation tools and techniques. Now, these are the estimates that are used for basic COCOMO. So, you have a software project, you have coefficient AB, BB, CB and DB. Organic is 2.4, 1.05, 2.5, 0.38, then semi-detached is 3, 1.12, 2.5, 0.35, embedded is 3.6, 1.2, 2.5 and 0.32, okay. So these are the estimates, okay, from the, these have been derived empirically from, you know, the, what are these, 63 projects at TRW Aerospace. So this is basic COCOMO. Okay, the intermediate COCOMO then computes software development as a function of program size and set of cost drivers that includes subjective assessment of product, hardware, personnel and project attributes. This extension considers a set of four cost drivers, you know, each with a number of subsidiary attributes. So there are product attributes like required software reliability, the size of the application database and the complexity of the product. Then there are hardware attributes in terms of runtime, performance constraints, memory, volatile of the virtual machine environment and required turnaround times. Then there are personal attributes in terms of analyst capability, software engineering capability, application experience, virtual machine experience and programming language experience. Then there are project attributes like use of software tools, application of software engineering methods and required development schedule. Now each of the above 15 attributes receive a rating on a 6-point scale that ranges from very low to extra high in importance and value. Then this effort multiplier from the table below applies to the rating. The product of all this creates an effort adjustment factor and the typical effort adjustment factor range from 0.9 to 1.4. So this is how the six parameters are: very low, low, nominal, high, very high and extra high. And these are the cost drivers. So based on product attributes, hardware attributes, personnel attributes and you know, project attributes, you have these empirically derived coefficients that can be used to correct the estimates that have been used in estimating the software. So these are the COCOMO estimates.